Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. We'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word rightly divided. We'll be continuing today going through our study looking in the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 2, and we have been looking here at verse number 12, which says, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. And over the last couple episodes, we've been looking at this idea of the word called, and looking at how the scriptures lay out a concept related to the words elect, chosen, or called, and not dealing with them as being salvation, which is what so many individuals really look at them as, but the true idea of what the scriptures lay out of, where things that are identified as being elect, called, or chosen are identified this way because God has laid out a very specific purpose for these things related to the plan that he has for the reconciliation of both the heaven and the earth. And as we've been looking at these things, we've gone through the first three of these things. We looked at how the Lord Jesus Christ is identified as being, you know, the elect of God. And we looked at how that's dealing specifically with the ideas of what it was that he was to accomplish on the cross at Calvary to take care of the issue of sin, and how this would tie in with the reconciliation of both the heaven and the earth. We looked at how the nation of Israel was identified in this manner, and how God chose the nation of Israel out of all the other nations on the earth to utilize in order to have them be the instrument through which he will reconcile the earth back unto himself. We looked last time at the third element that's identified in this manner, the 12 apostles, and how they have a very specific role related to the nation of Israel, and how they were to prepare the nation of Israel to really be able to accept the role that God has chosen them for. Now, as we look here at the fourth element that is identified as being the elect, the called, the chosen, I want to start over here in the book of Ephesians. So let's go to Ephesians chapter number 1 to see what it is that the Apostle Paul is speaking of here. And here in Ephesians chapter number 1, we're going to look here at verses 3 and 4 in the chapter. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, this is one of these passages that so many individuals will use to say, well, see, right here, you have Paul identifying the fact that God hath chosen us in him, so this has to specifically be making a reference to the idea of salvation being spoken of here. Now, this is not what the Apostle Paul is making a reference to. The Apostle Paul, speaking here about this idea of he hath chosen us in him, is speaking about the body of Christ as a whole. He's speaking about the entity which is known as the body of Christ, which was chosen in him before the foundation of the world. And that's what you see as you look through Paul's epistles. You see how Paul clearly identifies the fact that the body of Christ, the program related to the reconciliation of the heavenly places, was all laid out prior to, you know, way before Genesis chapter number 1 verse 1 even happens. And You know, because if it really is speaking about this idea of salvation here, again, we have to go back to the fact of that if God is saying he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, he has chosen certain people then for salvation, and by choosing certain people for salvation, he truly then is choosing individuals for that's eternal separation of God. You know, that thing of where they will be experiencing the things of the second death, all because God has chosen for that to happen to them, because he did not choose them for salvation. The Apostle Paul makes it very clear that salvation is open to all of mankind. All people have to do today in order to be saved is put their trust in the gospel message as laid out in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. The fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. When someone puts their trust in that and that alone, they have the gift of eternal life. They have the sealing ministry of the Holy Spirit, which keeps them as a member of the body of Christ. Keeps them so that way they will be able to be part of this program to where they will be able to rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ in heavenly places for all of eternity. And that's such a wonderful thing to really realize, and how really it is open for all, not just for a select chosen few that would be able to, you know, have the blessing that God has chosen them. God really does open this for all of mankind to actually have access to this. Let's go over to the book of Romans. We'll go to Romans chapter number 8. We're going to see the Apostle Paul is going to use this terminology again related to the members of the body of Christ. And we'll see here Romans chapter number 8. We'll read here verse number 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Now, we know very clearly from looking, when you read through the book of Romans and you study out what the Apostle Paul lays out here, it's very clear that it's God who is giving the justification, because it's only God that can truly justify an individual. And nobody can lay a charge to us, because the individuals who are identified as God's elect, the members of the body of Christ, we're identified in Christ. Nothing can be laid as a charge to Christ. And since nothing can be laid as a charge to Christ, nothing can be laid as a charge towards us. Let's go over to the book of Colossians. So go to Colossians chapter number 3, where again we will see this terminology that's going to be used to describe the body of Christ here. I'm going to read here verse number 12 in Colossians chapter number 3. It says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So here is the Apostle Paul is laying out some of the practical information that is needed for the members of the body of Christ. He is saying that as we are in this true thing of being the elect of God, being this chosen entity, these are the things that we are to be doing as the member of the body of Christ. As we allow the Lord Jesus Christ to live through us, as the doctrine intends, that we take in the Word of God rightly divided, we apply it to our lives, and as we do that, the Lord Jesus Christ lives through us, and as he lives through us, these ideas, the, you know, holy and beloved, the bowels of mercies, everything, the kindness is put, the humbleness of mind, the meekness, the long suffering, the idea of forbearance and forgiveness, all of that coming about as a result of us functioning in the manner that God intends. And you know, when you look at that idea of forgiveness, that's one of those true things that separates out from the things related to the nation of Israel. Because when you look back in the Gospels, you see how the idea of the only way that they could receive forgiveness was the fact that they were going to have to forgive somebody else. And if they were doing that, then they would be forgiven. The idea for us, the members of the body of Christ, is that we are to forgive people because we already have the forgiveness. Forgiveness is a present condition as a member of the body of Christ. We don't have to worry about trying to do things to earn that forgiveness. We don't have to try to do things to confess the things that we've done wrong. We already are forgiven. It says, even as Christ forgave you. That's a thing of that happened in the past for us. Let's go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. And we'll see a passage that we had looked at as we had studied out chapter number 1 of this epistle here. And we're going to start here at verse number 2 of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, which says, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God." And as he's talking to these saints, he's identifying the fact that they know the state that they're in. They know that they're part of this chosen entity, the body of Christ, that God is going to use to reconcile the heavenly places back unto himself. Let's go over to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And as we're, you know, turning here, we can see how there's, we've already looked at a number of passages here that the Apostle Paul is using these terms, elect, chosen, called, to describe who we are as the members of the body of Christ. Now let's look here at verse number 10 of 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And it says, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Now again, this is going to be one of those passages that's going to start looking a little confusing to people, because they see that idea of, you know, well, what do you mean by this salvation? Isn't people, are, you know, aren't they already saved by the fact that they put on, you know, that they accepted the gospel message? You know, what is Paul making a reference to? And he's not talking about that type of salvation. He's talking about this issue of, when you look at the context of what everything's being talked about here, that there's these afflictions that are actually happening. You know, and that's what you start seeing verses 11, 12, and 13 speaking of. You see verse 9, as Paul's identifying the fact that he's suffering trouble. And that's why he's saying he's enduring these things for the elect's sake. He's enduring all of these problems for the sake of the members of the body of Christ, so that way the members of the body of Christ can, you know, not only receive, you know, this salvation from all of these things, you know, receiving some form of protection from them if the Apostle Paul is suffering them, but we see the pattern of Paul as he's doing these things to say that this is exactly how we, as the members of the body of Christ, should be functioning, because we should be following Paul as he followed Christ. He lays out all of the things that, you know, the body of Christ should be doing if we follow the doctrine that's laid out in Romans through Philemon. Let's go over to the book of Titus. We'll go to Titus chapter number 1. And we see right here, as Paul begins this epistle, that he's going to use this term again to describe the body of Christ. Paul, a servant of God, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. The apostle Paul is given this responsibility, which we're going to talk about in a couple minutes as we look at the fifth element of the things that are chosen of God. But you see how this ties in with the idea of according to the faith of God's elect. His responsibility is all related to the members of the body of Christ, because the apostle Paul is that fifth thing that's identified as being the elect, the called, the chosen of God. That just as we saw with Israel and how they had a responsibility related to the reconciliation of the earth, and there was individuals who were given that responsibility of getting them ready to be able to function in that role. For us, the members of the body of Christ, who's given the responsibility to reconcile the heavenly places back unto God, that we are given the Apostle Paul, who's going to be preparing us to be able to step into that role, being able to handle the responsibility that's been given to us, the members of the body of Christ. Now, when we look here, I want to go over to Acts chapter number 9 for a moment. And we're going to be looking right here, starting at the salvation of Saul of Tarsus, here in Acts chapter number 9, to see where this even starts out with the idea of him being identified in this manner. Now, verse 1 starts showing where his salvation is occurring. It says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand, and brought him unto Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. So we see the issue of the beginning part of this salvation. He sees the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven's glory. He reveals unto him that he's going to be told what it is that is going to happen with him. Let's continue on here in the chapter, verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. Now as we see this, we see how Ananias is being told this is what he's going to have to do to provide healing for Paul, and how Ananias is at first resisting this idea because he says, Well, wait a minute. I have heard all of these bad things that he's been doing. I've heard how it is that he's been persecuting the church. He's been opposed to the things of God. And you know what? I'm not going to have anything to do with this. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to answer Ananias here. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. So we see how he's being identified here as a chosen vessel unto God with the responsibility of bearing his name before the Gentiles, before the kings, and before the children of Israel. Now we see some further information when we go over to Acts chapter number 26 about how it is that this is actually even described to the Apostle Paul here. And we're going to start right at verse number 14 in Acts chapter number 26. It says, and when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So we see this further information that's being given about what it is that he's supposed to be doing. And he's supposed to be opening the eyes of the Gentiles. He's supposed to be turning them from darkness to light, from everything of Satan, turning them unto God. You know, providing for them the information that's going to show how they'll receive the forgiveness of sins. And all that from the aspect of when he says, the things which thou hast seen. So there's information that Saul of Tarsus had already seen and knew, and that there was further things that would be given unto him, that as he received those things, he would be communicating those things to other individuals, that way they could be functioning properly in the role that they're supposed to have. That's why when we go over to Romans chapter number 11, to look at how Paul describes himself here. And here in Romans chapter number 11, let's look here at verse number 13, which says, for I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. And here you have Paul as something that we see him unfortunately having to do over and over in his epistles, is he has to give information to keep reaffirming the fact that he is the apostle of the Gentiles, that he's given this responsibility to be communicating this information so we people know what it is that they're supposed to be doing today. The unfortunate thing is when we look at Christianity today, we see how far removed Christianity is from understanding the Apostle Paul and understanding the importance of Romans to Philemon. You know, so many people want to just focus on, you know, what would Jesus do? Looking at the red letters, you know, it says Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, to try to see that this would be their doctrine. You know, you have instances where, you know, and a former president of in the United States actually had said in a speech when he was quoting from the Bible, used the phrase, and this comes from one of those obscure books in the Bible, the book of Romans. And then he quoted a passage out of the book of Romans. Now, it's really sad that individuals today look at the book of Romans and call it an obscure book, because there are so many foundational truths that individuals really need to have a good understanding of if they're going to be able to function in that role as the member of the body of Christ and follow the pattern that's been given to us by the Apostle Paul in his epistles, and even as he says to follow him as he followed Christ, because he followed Christ through the doctrine that had been given unto him. And if he followed him that way, then that's what we're supposed to do as members of the body of Christ as well. Now, we'll continue going through the book of 1 Thessalonians in our next episode. And as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our Sunday messages. We have information about how to watch our Sunday services live as they happen on Facebook. We also have information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. So you can hear it live. You can also hear the Bible study. You know, it's on there for another week as well in that conference call option. So you can call if you can't make it, you know, live on the Wednesday night. You can always hear it on the conference call option as well. And as always, if you ever have any questions, comments about anything on our website, anything in our broadcasts, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.